I've got bad news and good news. I've got good news and bad news. Which one do you want to hear first? You know how that goes, right? Whenever we have something to say to our seventh grader, Liam, he always asks, is it good news or bad news, right? And it's usually a little bit of both. I Googled this for good news and bad news jokes. You know about those, right? And I even found that there's a specialized category of good news, bad news jokes for ministers. Did you know that? Such as, the good news is that Mr. Phillips has found a cure for his insomnia. The bad news is that it involves listening to your sermons. The good news is that worship attendance has increased dramatically over the last 2 weeks. The bad news is that you've been on vacation. The good news is that when you were sick, the women's circle voted to send you a get well card. The bad news is that the vote was 10-9. I'll stop. But then there's just a classic good news, bad joke for everyone, right? A doctor calls your patient and says, I have good news and bad news. The good news is that you have 24 hours to live. The patient says, well, if that's the good news, what's the bad news? The doctor says, well, the bad news is I forgot to call you yesterday. See how that, yeah, you get it. All right. Well, other than an excuse to tell you some corny jokes, I want us to think, get you thinking about good news and bad news as a way of listening to the scripture passages today. I suppose that good news, bad news idea in our culture expresses this kind of wry wisdom about life, right? Don't get too comfortable with any good news because some bad news may be lurking just ahead. I suppose it's also a way to get someone's attention. Maybe you're a little bit more prepared for bad news if you have some good news first. Now, I don't know if good news, bad news was an idiom in Jesus' day, but from my read of what's happening in Luke, Jesus seems to capture the spirit of it. It's no joke, but it's a way of getting people's attention and getting across something that Jesus wants people to hear. How things go in Luke 13 is that news comes to Jesus about people who have been killed by this Roman governor Pilate in the Jewish temple. And what's so interesting is that as this news is brought to Jesus, Jesus doesn't see this just as a tragic report. Jesus hears an issue being raised to him. Do you think that these Galileans who suffered were worse than other Galileans? Jesus asks. Which is really a question about God that Jesus is raising. Did these people die as a punishment from God for their sins? It's a question about human suffering and divine action. Is our suffering an expression of God's action? No, Jesus says. I tell you, no. And just to be clear, Jesus brings up another recent tragic incident. Those 18 killed in the tower collapse of Siloam, were they worse sinners than the rest of Jerusalem? No. Jesus says, I tell you, no. That's good news. Jesus teaches that there is not some direct link between human suffering and sin. There's not a divine scale that balances out human misfortune with divine judgment. Too often, religion has sought to have that balance, some kind of neat equation that factors in suffering and punishment with human experience. And in trying to do that, there's been great damage done to people's faith and souls, compounding suffering with guilt and fear and shame. Jesus says, no. God is not some divine assassin picking off sinners, inflicting suffering to prove a point. I think that's good news. But there's some bad news, too. An intriguing part of this passage is that Jesus not only hears a question about God in this report that is given to him, he also hears people saying something or asking something about themselves. Jesus hears a desire in these people to believe that they are better than those who have suffered and died. A desire to say that God was against those people, but God is on our side. I said that it's good news that Jesus' answer first is no, but it leads pretty quickly to some bad news, which is this: you are the ones in danger of judgment. Unless you repent, you will all perish as they did, Jesus says. He says it twice. You could say, the good news is that God is not going around inflicting suffering on people. The bad news is that unless you turn to God, you're all going to hell. Now, how's that for some bad news for the day? I want you to know I use that word hell as a way of expressing that Jesus is talking about serious business here. Jesus is trying to make clear the path of destruction that we human beings can pave for ourselves. You will perish, Jesus says. See, what Jesus sees happening is people looking around, trying to figure out who is good and who is bad, trying to determine who is God punishing and who is God blessing. Who are God's enemies? Who are God's friends? How can we make sure that God is on our side and then we'll know we're okay? No, Jesus says, I tell you, no. Because the truth is that until you recognize your own need to turn to God, the ways of death and sin will have their way in you. Unless this world recognizes the need to turn to the ways of God, death will have its way. That's the bad news. Or is it good news? Because just when Jesus told everyone that they too could be on the path to destruction, he tells this little parable about the fig tree. It's a fig tree that hasn't been making any figs. But the gardener convinces the master to give it some more time to bear fruit, even gives it some manure to help it out. This is good news. God does not give up on us, even gives spiritual manure to help make us fruitful. This is good news. Or is this bad news? The parable concludes, but if there is still no fruit, cut it down. It's not the cheery ending we were looking for. Good news, bad news, good news. It's hard to keep track of it in what Jesus says. And perhaps that's just what Jesus is after. As I was reflecting on the theme for this third Sunday of Lent, feasting and fasting, it occurred to me that that offers a different paradigm, a much more faithful paradigm with which to view our lives than a good news, bad news view of life. Good news, bad news seems to put us in this sort of tit for tat with God and with one another, but we're invited to come at life in a very different way. I think with gratitude and humility. Doesn't that express feasting and fasting? Grateful for the feast of blessings we experience in our lives, but also humble about our own limitations and brokenness. Feasting hearts open to the richness of life, and fasting hearts seeking always to repent, to turn to God. That's what repentance means, to be turned to God's ways of life. That's what I hear from Jesus. In the current climate in our day of religion and politics and culture, I have some extensive reports that I would like to bring to Jesus so that I can tell Jesus who deserves God's judgment and who Jesus can put in their place. Got a lot of reports. I know what the good news is, and I know what the bad news is. But Jesus has a surprising response to my reports. Repent. You turn to God. Turns out life is too short for keeping track of good sides and bad sides, for riding waves of good news and bad news. Turns out in this life there is only time to be fruitful, to be faithful, to trust that God's kingdom is the true home in which you and I, in which we abide. Isn't that the kingdom of feasting and fasting that Isaiah describes? Did you hear? Come to the waters. Come and eat. Come and have life. And turn from unrighteousness. Return to the Lord. Gratitude, humility, feasting, fasting, that turns us again and again from death to life. Good news, bad news. We hear a lot of it in our world. We know a lot of it in our lives. But I don't think that's where we find God. Jesus shocks us out of that framework and insists we find God in turning to God always, no matter what the circumstance. And as we hear the call from Jesus to turn, we realize that it is God who has turned first to us. It is the God of life who holds our lives in our world. Jesus' word shocks us with our reports. Repent, you. And Isaiah turns that call into a vision that is played out in our midst today. So we come with our own good news and bad news in our lives, our own questions and sorrows, our own hunger and thirst for healing and hope, our own needs to turn from death to life. God calls us to the waters and to the bread and to the wine and to the blessing. Calls us to those things which truly satisfy. In this world that knows all too well the paths that lead to perishing, we are witnesses to a different way. Turn to God. That is the fruitful path, the path of life. Turn to God and find that God is already there, that God's mercy is our true home. Thanks be to God. Amen.